The U.S. Justice Department has decided not to defend a 20-year-old federal law that bans female genital mutilation, a controversial and damaging practice also called FGM. But activists say the law is needed to protect young girls. As The World's Roopa Shenoy reports, the growing dispute revolves around an ongoing case in Michigan, and a warning that this story may be upsetting for some listeners.
The case is against an emergency room doctor, Jumana Nagarwala. She allegedly arranged with two mothers in Minnesota for them to bring their 7-year-old daughters to Michigan, where Nagarwala cut their clitoral hoods.
I'm sure she thinks she did no wrong.
Maria Tahir is from the same community as Nagarwala, the Bohra sect of India's Shia Muslims. She leads an anti-FGM advocacy group named Sayo. Tahir was cut by a family member when she was visiting India.
My mother, my aunt took me, but I remember them also comforting me afterwards. So I realized that I couldn't blame just one person. I couldn't be angry at just my mother or anyone else. It was something that was much larger than that.
That's one argument Shannon Smith, Nagarwala's attorney, makes. She says cutting is cultural practice.
And the whole reason they do this procedure is to make boys and girls equal. It's not to diminish sexuality. It's not to make sex unpleasant.
But it got Nagarwala arrested. And Smith says that made Nagarwala a target for politically fueled spite. She says her office got death threats.
Quite frankly, I think this case is like a storm of perfect conditions that make her a very easy target to have most people easily hate her. And I can't believe the number of people that write, she needs to go back to the country she came from when she was born here.
Prosecutors charged Nagarwala under a law that was 20 years old. Dan Lemish was the acting U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, and he approved Nagarwala's indictment.
The law had never been tested. It had never been used since it was passed in 1999.
The law he's talking about bans the genital cutting of girls for non-medical reasons. It's a practice that at one time was widespread in many parts of the world and may still be. A Centers for Disease Control study estimates 500,000 girls in the U.S. are at risk. But there's not a lot of firm data on how often it happens.
When this case arose in 2017, this was the only law we had, and we chose to use it.
Even though Lemish says they knew the law was flawed, it doesn't have some basic language, like it doesn't specify that minors have to be taken over state lines for the law to apply. And that's what took it down. Last November, a Michigan judge ruled it unconstitutional.
I think this was purely a legal decision based on the law and the Constitution, and I think it will be fixed.
Activists were disappointed, but the government still had the opportunity to appeal. Now, though, it looks like the Justice Department won't. Last month, the Trump administration sent a letter to Congress saying there aren't adequate grounds to defend the law. Meanwhile, several states that don't already have bans on FGM are now considering bills to enact them. Some have faced opposition, like in Connecticut. Susan Yolen with Planned Parenthood of Southern New England, she argued a law might end up putting more pressure on girls who'd have to turn in their own family members.
And so if they are frightened away from a healthcare provider because of a practice that many of us might consider, you know, barbaric or dangerous, then that's not a good thing. And so I think finding out what we need to find out about its prevalence is a good step one before we decide it's a criminal activity.
Yolen was also suspicious after she learned the bill was sponsored by people who she thought might be Islamophobic.
It's mostly Muslim folks who practice this. You know, they have been specifically targeted by the current administration.
But more research may find FGM happens in other cultures, too. Shelby Quast is with the group Equality Now.
In our own experience of working with FGM and survivors around the world, this is not based in any one religion. Even in this country, recently, women who were raised in Christian and white and in Midwest America had experienced FGM.
Quast says until there's an effective federal law and state laws, girls will be at risk. For now, she hopes Dr. Nagarwala is convicted. Nagarwala is still facing a federal obstruction charge, a felony that could be punished by 20 years in prison. And Quast says the state of Michigan could take action.
They could charge her still. And we would encourage quite strongly to do so if the federal case doesn't move forward.
That's something that Mariah Taher would welcome. She's the FGM survivor from the same community as Nagarwala. Taher says Nagarwala may have had good intentions, but what she did was wrong.
We're at this tipping point. We are seeing that communities are recognizing and others are recognizing that this is harmful. And I don't think any form of harm to a child should be allowed by any culture or religion.
Taher says stronger laws would send the message that culture shouldn't be confused with violence. For The World, I'm Roopa Shenoy.